two heads are better than one.
Hey.
Oh, hi there.
Oh, did I interrupt?
Huh? Weren't we supposed to meet for coffee?
Well, yeah, but you have that look.
That look? Huh? What are you talking about?
I don't know. It's like you look preoccupied.
No. I was just reading the paper before you showed up.
Okay.
So, how did your interview go?
Well, I think it was okay, but I'm not sure how it worked out.
I know. That can be nerve-wracking. But did they give you any sense, like one way or the other?
I couldn't figure it out. It was very hard to read.
Okay, well, good luck with that.
Are you sure you want to hang out? I know you have things to do, all the gardening or shoveling some snow over your garden.
Huh? I have a life beyond garden chores. I wanted to meet with you.
I don't know. I keep feeling this vibe, like you're distracted. You look a bit distant.
I don't feel that way. Maybe there are other things ticking in my brain. I mean, you know, I was thinking that my coffee was kind of hot, but I don't feel distant. Not really.
Not really? Sounds like maybe you aren't totally sure.
Gosh, you know, this is getting kind of difficult. What's up with you anyhow?
Me? I thought you had an issue with me. I could just sense, you know, it when I called. Look, I'm not a charity case. You don't have to meet with me.
Gosh, I can't believe this. You're acting like I'm rejecting you.
Well, if a person isn't into it, they should say so. Like the interview I was on, I kind of thought that they were going through the motions. Just because they are friends with my family, that's probably why I can't tell how it went.
Well, look, I don't know. Maybe you're kind of feeling vulnerable about the job. You just seem so super sensitive about...
About what? That I'm a reject? Look, sometimes people don't really tell you what they have some misgivings about you and feel like something's off and denied, and then you're stuck. It makes me nuts.
Well, maybe, but in this case, like, here, it's me, and you keep suspecting me and telling me that your reading is inaccurate.
Yeah, but I feel something.
But I don't have an answer for you. I'm good. I'm just going along with my day.
Okay. This is scrambling my brain. I better chill out. Those thoughts are too painful. I better take a breath here.
Okay, let's maybe switch topics. So, my garden. I'm really psyched because I'm more organized than usual and my starts are really looking good.
Changing the subject. Probably thinks I'm a nutball. What is with me today? I better calm down. I got an ache in my neck. Breathe. Breathe.
So, have you begun? Have you begun your garden?
As a matter of fact, I'm reading a new book and figuring out how much mulch is needed to keep the weeds down.
Oh, sounds interesting. Maybe you can enlighten me. How much does it take?
Oh, did I misrepresent myself? I'm not an expert. Now I'll have to be seen as a know-it-all. Breathe, breathe.
Hey, are you okay?
I think maybe it's time for...
Shrink wrap. Okay. Well, excellent acting there, Steve.
Oh, please.
Yes, it was excellent. Or maybe we're going back into the skit again in another way, huh?
Yeah, I'm feeling very uncomfortable about that statement.
Oh. Okay, well, I don't know what to say about that. But what did you think of this little interaction?
Well, obviously, it's the kind of thing that happens to people every day. You know, you're trying to figure out what's going on in your head and other people's heads, and if you're having a bad time, it's pretty difficult to do that, I would guess. You know, I think even the most self-assured people have a little problem with their confidence.
Yes, and with respect to these two people, I think that your character... possibly was feeling really vulnerable, you know, that you just had this job interview and you were not sure how to read the interviewers, and then you suspected, it led you to suspect, well, maybe they were just doing you a favor anyhow, and I think you were feeling kind of sensitive. And then when you saw me and maybe my coffee was hot, maybe I was looking at other people, whatever, you started sort of accumulating my cues and you were interpreting them. Mm-hmm. And the interpretation was coming out of suspicion that I was kind of down on you, maybe even rejecting you. And then you started to feel like a reject, too. So it really had a domino effect on you.
Sure. You're having a bad day already, not feeling so sure about yourself. And then, it just travels over to the rest of your day.
Right.
Or life.
Yes, exactly. And, as you said, this kind of thing can happen to most of us at any time, particularly if we're vulnerable. And I guess we should kind of break down what's happening here. Some people would say that's an example of being paranoid, right?
Yes, they might.
Yes. And that term paranoia really has floated into pop culture. I started noticing it in the late 60s, early 70s, I guess. Even Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young were singing about it. Paranoia strikes deep into your life. It will creep. And that's a pretty serious term, though. And I kind of want to depathologize, if you will, what just happened in this interaction.
Kurt Cobain said, by the way, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you.
Yes. Right. So.
He was obviously very paranoid.
I guess so.
Or was he not?
And was he, what was going on for him? And that's the really important point. What is going on for someone when they're in a state of feeling hypersensitive and hypervigilant about it, maybe getting into an argument and insisting, and hypercritical, and suspicious? What is behind that state? And aside from whether someone else is actually distracted, like my character might have been a teeny bit distracted and you picked up on it, or not, what's happening is that when you're in the state that your character was in that suspicious state, you can't always know what's behind the behavior of the other guy. So you don't necessarily know their intention. And when you're reading someone and interpreting someone's behavior without their input, that can be troubling. Because you can start building a case just on the way they're moving, just on any number of things about the way they behave, but maybe you don't know what's behind it. Like, for instance, let's say my character was thinking about a flat tire that mm-hmm. she just had. Or that she's beginning to get uptight because you're seeming to get uptight. And she doesn't want to reject you, but she doesn't know how to read you, and it's activating insecurity in her.
Right.
So if you're not checking in more specifically, your character was kind of rapid fire. Every single line was about, but now you're this, but now you're that. Mm-hmm. If you don't check in, you can't know. So behind behavior is meaning, and you might not necessarily know it in your own independent state. So that's one thing that we can think about when we do get uptight about where other people are at and we do begin to feel rejected or suspicious toward them. Really think about, do I really know their intent? Am I interpreting it just from my perspective, or am I including in their perspective? That's a good tool to use. Another thing is that in a true paranoiac state, and that word paranoia, by the way, is not really used in much in psychotherapy, certainly, and even
it's not a professional term that's used.
Not really. I mean, it is a diagnostic category in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for psychologists who use it.
Paranoid, but, schizophrenic, or whatever.
Uh huh. Right. Paranoid break. But when we really look at people and what's happening for them, it's not a good term. It's a very severe state that describes somebody who has had a break from what most of us are perceiving as a certain reality.
I like how you put that.
And they are not able at that point to reflect because they're so distressed. They're not able to reflect on, maybe she has a different intention. The last time I was upset with her, I checked it out, and she had something on her mind, but it wasn't that she hated me.
You know, they can't think in an all-encompassing way because the distress of whatever happened to them was so traumatic and frightening that, if you will, in a paranoid state, you kind of disconnect from what's going on for others, and you're being barraged by a lot of usually negative information in your own head that probably came from the trauma. So your experience is internal. You're not including the external circumstances. You can't really mentalize. It's a failure to mentalize. You can't think about how you're thinking because you're so frightened. You're in a nightmare. And most of us, when we're going through the kind of experience that your character went through, we have much more that's accessible to use to calm ourselves down than if you were experiencing a mental state where you were truly paranoid. So that word paranoia...
Overused.
Way overused.
Okay.
Not helpful. And really scary. Because when we do feel paranoid, you know, we can start pathologizing ourselves or think someone else is pathologizing us. Oh, they must think I'm paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
And my character, I think, seemed kind of patient. You know, eventually got a little worn down. But, you know, was kind of saying, hey, what's up? And maybe trying to be helpful. Like, what inspired this reaction in you? So I was fortunately not saying, oh, man, is he ever a lunatic? You know, I was more open to you know, care about you and kind of hold your experience and not attack you for it mm-hmm. or reject you as you were fearing. So I guess that's the difference between a true paranoid state, which is not helpful, really, even if somebody is paranoid. In fact, I remember when I was beginning my training, you know, we were told that if somebody is truly in a paranoid state, like the kind of state where you would be hospitalized because it was so severe and you couldn't function, you were in so much pain, that the worst thing to do would be to debate the delusion that a paranoid person has, because you're just going to get into this endless debate and continue escalating that person's fear. So if we take this to a friendship level, when somebody is feeling anxious and maybe suspicious and maybe worried that someone doesn't like them because we can't read them correctly and we're not, as you said earlier, maybe their confidence is worn a little bit because they're vulnerable, probably the best thing to do is not to challenge it, not because they're going to flip out because they're psychotic in a paranoid state, obviously, but because it's much more comforting. And it will bridge some trust if you say to your friend, gee, it looks like you're having a hard time today with the way you're thinking about things. You know, rather than play into that defensiveness and say, well, I wasn't really feeling that way. What's wrong with you? And why do you treat me this way? And, you know, it will start escalating a tension.
I don't have time for this. See you
right.
later.
Then the rejection is bound.
Now it's real.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, and also, you know, sometimes people refer to this kind of reaction in someone as projecting. Oh, they're projecting on me. And again, define or assign, you know, a terminology to someone, you're paranoid, you're rejecting, it really becomes pathologizing. And that's certainly not what a friend needs from a friend when they are feeling sensitive and vulnerable. So I guess the advice I have about that is, you know, to contain, to listen, to really extend compassion when somebody's feeling fussy and stressed.
Do you need a hug?
Yeah, that might have helped you. Okay, well, and also one other thing is I just want to mention that this is an example of how sometimes it's really tough to read people. And you might read somebody in somewhat of a negative light, but it's so hard to know what's happening in that person's life and where they're really at. And when it comes down to it, really, if they do feel a couple of negative grains towards you, it's okay. You know, we all feel negatively toward one another at some point. It would be, I think it would be fantasy land to expect and to think that everyone's always going to love you 24/7 and never be distressed.
What?
Or distracted. So give everybody a little bit of slack and give yourself a little bit of slack. If you can't read it, then just go ahead and do something else. Or if you can't be read accurately, go chew a piece of gum or take a walk or breathe. I like that your character was breathing.
Breathing, yes.
Gives you a little space to maybe get away from the mental anguish. It truly does. Get that oxygen flowing through your blood.
Maybe count to 10. It works with anger.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And actually, it works with pretty much anything. Count to 10. You can reassess the situation and maybe take a different
That's very tactfully put. I like that. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Robin.
Okay.
Shrink Wrap with Robin Grace. It's 9 o'clock. You're listening to KHNS, Haines, Skagway, and Klukwan.